This is Robert St. John in the NBC newsroom in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, we may be approaching a fateful hour. All night long, bulletins have been pouring in from Berlin claiming that D-Day is here, claiming that the invasion of Western Europe has begun. Let me read you several of the latest bulletins. One says that a report, unconfirmed by Allied sources, of course, says that heavy fighting is taking place between the Germans and invasion forces on the Normandy Peninsula, about 31 miles southwest of Le Havre. Another bulletin, also from Berlin Radio and unconfirmed, says that British-American landing operations against the western coast of Europe, from the sea and from the air, are stretching over the entire area between Cherbourg and Le Havre, a distance of about 60 miles. I repeat, there is no confirmation. And here's another bulletin just in. DNB, the German agency, says, this is unconfirmed, that the most important airdromes in the area of the Normandy Peninsula of France have been wiped out. Now, I presume that means wiped out by the Allies. As you may have heard on earlier broadcasts, all three German news agencies have begun broadcasting these stories that the invasion is here. But there is no Allied confirmation as yet. The first report came out shortly after midnight, and since then we've been flooded with reports from Berlin. Paris Radio, strangely enough, has not confirmed any of these reports. And now we have just been informed that we can expect, in a very few seconds, a very important broadcast from the British capital. And so now we take you to London.
The text of communique number one will be released to the press and radio of the United Nations in 10 seconds. Repeat, 10 seconds from now. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. The communique will be repeated. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. This ends the reading of communique number one from Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is New York, NBC Newsroom again. Men and women of the United States, this is a momentous hour in world history. This is the invasion of Hitler's Europe, the zero hour of the Second Front. The men of General Dwight Eisenhower are leaving their landing barges, fighting their way up the beaches into the fortress of Nazi Europe. They are moving in from the sea to attack the enemy under a mammoth cloud of fighter planes, under a ceiling of screaming shells from Allied warships. The first news flashes do not say, but a large proportion of this assault is believed to be in the hands of American men. They are making the attack side by side with the British Tommies who were bombed and blasted out of Europe at Dunkirk. Now, at this hour, they are bombing and blasting their way back again. This is the European front, once again being established in fire and blood, not only by the Americans and British, but by many allies in the fight against Axis aggression. This is the supreme test of Allied spirit and of Allied weapons. The world's greatest military undertaking is underway. Casualties in this mammoth operation, in the subsequent drive inland, may reach a dreadful toll. The German war machine is still powerful and is still strongly entrenched. Our invasion forces are on the offensive, against Nazi troops who have been ordered to die rather than retreat. However, die or retreat they must, for this attack up the shores of Europe is being made with all the strength the Allied command can throw into battle. Eisenhower, the commander, has promised that his men will bring victory in Europe in 1944. The first aim of the Americans and the British will be to secure their beachheads, and then the capture or building of airfields so that our planes from European bases can carry on the task of blasting loose the enemy from his prepared positions farther back. That task now is assigned to our planes flying out of England right now. And you have already heard the flash that came from London. The flash, the official Allied announcement that the invasion of Western Europe has begun, that D-Day is here, that H-hour has struck. Air power paved the way for this mighty assault in the West. Nazi targets have been hammered day and night in an offensive which has steadily grown in destructive violence. Thousands of planes each day have flown cross-channel up from Italy and Africa to tear up German gun emplacements, which have been 4 years in the making. Airfields have been knocked out of operation, and the German Air Force, with its wings very badly clipped, has been based farther and farther inland, closer and closer to the German homeland itself. Well, let me go on a little bit more. These Allied air blows were methodically driven home to prepare the way for amphibious assault.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for a special broadcast, we take you to London, England.
Wolf. 10 seconds. Stand by. 8 seconds. 5 seconds. Stand by. 3, 2...
The following is the order of the day issued today by General Eisenhower to each individual of the Allied Expeditionary Force. Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940-41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeat in open battle, man to man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. This order was distributed to assault elements after their embarkation. It was read by appropriate commanders to all other troops in the Allied Expeditionary Force. I return you now to the United States.
Broadcasters, is everyone taking the official program starting at 47? This is McCall speaking. Yes.
Good morning, everybody. We have just had the first communique from General Eisenhower's headquarters on the invasion. Here is its text. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. And we have also had the first order of the day, the one issued by General Eisenhower, wishing Godspeed to his troops as they left the shores of Britain for the shores of northern France. He told them that they were about to embark on the Great Crusade. He reminded them that the eyes of the world are upon them, that the hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere in the world are with you. He warned them that the task which they confront is not easy, that the enemy will fight savagely, and he urged upon them devotion to duty, perseverance in the task, and asked the blessing of God upon the great enterprise that the liberty-loving peoples of the world have undertaken this morning. The attack is against northern France. That much we have known as a result of the German bulletins which have been pouring in upon us all morning. It is only natural that the Germans should report first, since they are the objects of our attack, since they naturally feel its force before we feel prepared to announce it to the world. But now it is official. We know that the long delay, the anxious days and weeks through which we have all passed are over. The great adventure has begun. The final chapter in the history of the Second World War is being written. Here is what the Germans have told us thus far about the invasion. Early this morning, and I am now quoting the German bulletin, numerous landing craft and light warships were observed in the area between the mouth of the Seine and the eastern coast of Normandy. That is the northern part of France. It is north of the Channel to some extent, south of the Channel for part of the way. Remember that Gravelines, Calais, Boulogne are just about halfway between
5 seconds, stand by for a full broadcast.
Here is the text of a report sent to London by Herbert M. Clark for the networks of the United States. This is Herbert M. Clark in a takeoff report from an Allied expeditionary base. I don't have to explain what the takeoff is. When you hear this, you'll know that Allied forces have leaped the gap between the bases in the United Kingdom and the coast of France. We'll be there, and we'll be there to stay as you listen. As I write this, we're in an unnamed port on an unnamed coast, one of the quirks of military security. But it's a funny thing about security. A week ago in London, I was in a state of constant irritation with security censorship. It was obvious from German radio reports that the Nazis knew things we knew but couldn't say. Since then, I've been living and eating and sleeping aboard the flagship of an Allied assault force, one of the several which are going to hit the Hun where he hurts most. And I find that Jerry knows less than he said he did. Since I've been here, we've had exactly one air alarm, and that not a raid or even a determined reconnaissance. And I also find that I don't object so much to security. My loyalty and responsibility to you back home is overridden by loyalty and responsibility to the soldiers on this boat and the sailors who are carrying them to the beachhead. That objective is also, for the moment, unidentifiable, because the place we've picked for our main landing is one Jerry hadn't figured on, and I don't want to be the one to tell him that our sector is the one where his counterattack should go. The Nazis have been badly outguessed on this whole show. He's going to be surprised by the direction of the attack, and he's going to get a shock by the timing. The master race has fallen down again. I'm treating all this in the past tense as though it had already happened. Maybe that's a mistake, but it's a reflection of the overwhelming confidence of the troops involved and the confidence I've drawn from the tremendous scale of the preparations. We haven't yet moved from our anchorage, but all morning, this coastal strip has been full of movement. Ladies and gentlemen, I will digress to say that the next few sentences will be semi-English, the fact that the script has been censored. There are ships in the task forces
which are striking, British, Canadian, and American. They range from big troop carriers and supply ships down to landing craft. Other vessels, landing craft, which make most of the journey, piggyback on bigger ships, are in the fleet. Now I admit that I can't conceive of a fleet of ships myself, but I do know that's as far as I can see from the bridge of this ship. Others are dotting the water thickly, and I can see about 30 square miles of water. Well, ships, I'm told, half the force. Double it, and you'll have the hull. And they're all loaded with fighting men and fighting weapons, some of them still secret. For some hours, the vanguard of our force, assigned to deal with specific coastal objectives in our sector of Nazi Europe, and landing craft lumbering through a choppy sea so slowly that they must start well ahead of time to get to their assigned places at their appointed times. These ships have been moving out. I'm speaking to shore by the last available channel of communication. We'll be following those ships soon, and I hope to be back with you before long with some harder facts. This is Herbert Clark reporting from the flagship of an Allied assault invasion force for the networks of the United States. I return you now to the United States.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC newsroom in New York. An announcement has just been made by Supreme Allied Headquarters in London. It says, it is announced that General B.L. Montgomery is in command of the army group carrying out the assault, that is, the assault on France. This army group includes British, Canadian, and American forces. Many of these troops, of course, storming the first barriers on the road to Rome, to Berlin, probably are American, Yanks from the farms of the Middle West, from the plains of the cow country, and from the streets of New York, and from the Deep South. One estimate was that perhaps 70% of Eisenhower's invasion force would be American, with the British and the Canadians and the men of the other United Nations furnishing the balance. This estimate was based on the fact that Britain lacked the reserves in her home islands to send an equal number of men into the assault. Because the invasion of Europe is primarily an American invasion, it is commanded by Dwight Eisenhower of Kansas, with, as I just told you, British General Montgomery in command of the army group carrying out the actual assault. At least 4 million Americans are on the fighting fronts overseas, and a large proportion of them have been concentrated in the British Isles. In the vast movements overseas, which began a short time after Pearl Harbor, brought us into the war. Both here at home and along the coasts of England, American troops have been trained under actual battle conditions for D-Day, H hour, which has now actually arrived. Recently, they completed a large-scale rehearsal for invasion over there in Britain, a rehearsal during which they went ashore with naval guns thundering overhead, with aerial bombs exploding in...
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, for a special report, we take you to London.
This is the last alerting announcement. In 10 seconds, the broadcast will be made from Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force.
This is Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force. In a moment, you will hear the Supreme Commander, General Dwight D. Eisenhower. His statement will be followed by other messages to the peoples of the countries on the western coast of Europe, which are occupied by the enemy.
The Supreme Commander, Allied Expeditionary Force, General Dwight D. Eisenhower.
People of Western Europe, a landing was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied Expeditionary Force. This landing is part of a concerted United Nations plan for the liberation of Europe, made in conjunction with our great Russian allies. I have a message for all of you. Although the initial assault may not have been made in your own country, the hour of your liberation is approaching. All patriots, men and women, young and old, have a part to play in the achievement of final victory. To members of resistance movements, whether led by nationals or by outside leaders, I say, follow the instructions you have received. to patriots who are not members of organized resistance groups, continue your passive resistance, but do not needlessly endanger your life. Wait until I give you the signal to rise and strike the enemy. The day will come when I shall need your united strength. Until that day, I call on you for the hard task of discipline and restraint. Citizens of France, I am proud to have again under my command the gallant forces of France. Fighting with their allies, they will play a worthy part in the liberation of their homeland. Because the initial landing has been made on the soil of your country, I repeat to you with even greater emphasis my message to the peoples of other occupied countries in Western Europe. Follow the instructions of your leaders. A premature uprising of all Frenchmen may prevent you from being of maximum help to your country during a critical hour. Be patient. Prepare. As Supreme Commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force, there is imposed on me the duty and responsibility of taking all measures necessary to the prosecution of the war. Prompt and willing obedience to the orders that I shall issue is essential. Effective civil administration of France must be provided by Frenchmen. All persons must fulfill in their present duties unless otherwise instructed. Those who have made common cause with the enemy and so betrayed their country will be removed. When France is liberated from her oppression, you yourselves will choose your representatives and the government under which you wish to live. In the course of this campaign for the final defeat of the enemy, you may sustain further loss and damage. Tragic though they may be, they are part of the price of victory. I assure you that I shall do all in my power to mitigate your hardship. I know that I can count on your steadfastness now, no less than in the past. For the heroic deeds of Frenchmen who have continued the struggle against the Nazis and their Vichy satellites in France and throughout the French Empire have been an example and an inspiration to all of us. This landing is but the opening phase of the campaign in Western Europe. Great battles lie ahead. I call upon all who love freedom to stand with us now. Keep your faith staunch. Our arms are resolute. Together we shall achieve victory.
You have just heard the Supreme Commander, General Dwight D. Eisenhower.
It has just been announced that General de Gaulle has arrived in England. He will broadcast a message to the people of France later in the day.